When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Isdal Woman, Norway's unsolved identity. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, our journey takes us to the stark, beautiful landscape of Norway, to a place where the towering fjords meet the chilling embrace of the North Sea. We delve into a mystery that began with a silent discovery on a remote mountainside, a puzzle piece removed from the grand tapestry of humanity, leaving behind a profound void. This is the story of the Isdal Woman, a woman with no name, no past, and no explanation for her final, fiery moments on a cold November day in 1970. Her case remains one of Norway's most baffling and enduring unsolved mysteries, a testament to a life meticulously erased, a truth forever obscured by fire and silence. Our tale begins on November 29th, 1970, in the rugged Isdalen Valley, often called Death Valley, near Bergen, Norway. A professor and his two young daughters were hiking. The air was crisp, the landscape breathtaking, yet unforgiving. As they ventured deeper into the valley, they encountered an unsettling sight: a charred, partially clothed body of a woman, lying among some rocks. The scene was bizarre, almost theatrical in its horror. Her face was severely burned, beyond recognition. Her hands were folded neatly by her side, almost posed. Around her, remnants of her clothing lay burned, and near her, a lingering smell of burnt flesh. This was no ordinary death. This was a deliberate act of destruction, a meticulous attempt to erase identity. The Bergen police swiftly responded to the grim discovery. The initial crime scene examination yielded peculiar details that immediately heightened the mystery. The woman's body was lying on her back, hands clasped, almost as if in prayer. Her posture was stiff, suggesting rigor mortis had set in. Around her, a strong smell of petrol. Near the body, investigators found a bottle of St. Halvard liqueur, a type of sleeping pills, phenobarbitone, and a small quantity of money. No identification. No wallet, no purse, no jewelry. It was as if she had arrived at that desolate spot with the sole purpose of vanishing. The next day, December 1st, a more thorough search of the area uncovered more. A large rock lay beside her, showing burn marks, suggesting it had been near her head when the fire was burning. A number of items were collected, including a watch with no brand, two plastic bottles that had contained petrol, a silver ring, two earrings, a small amount of money, a pair of rubber boots, a pair of long nylon stockings, a scarf, a small box of matches, and an empty passport tube. Again, nothing that could provide a name, an address, a nationality. Every identifiable mark seemed to have been painstakingly removed or destroyed. It was clear this was not a simple accident. Someone, perhaps the woman herself, had gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure her anonymity. The search for the woman's identity continued relentlessly. On December 4th, police discovered two suitcases at Bergen Railway Station's left luggage office. The receipts found near the body led them directly to these bags. What they found inside only deepened the intrigue and expanded the international scope of the mystery. The suitcases contained a meticulously curated collection of items, yet again, all stripped of any identifying labels. Clothes, wigs, sunglasses, possibly a disguise, a German dictionary, Norwegian krone, Belgian francs, British pounds, and even a number of strange postcards. Most tellingly, there were several false passports and identity cards issued to various aliases. Over the preceding weeks, The Isdal woman had seemingly lived a life of multiple identities. Investigators painstakingly pieced together her movements, tracking down hotels she had stayed in across Norway, from Stavanger to Trondheim. In each hotel, she had registered under a different name and nationality, using distinct wigs and clothing styles. She spoke several languages, including English, German, and French, with a European accent that defied precise pinpointing. She sometimes pretended to be a tourist, other times a businesswoman. She paid in cash, left hotels without warning, and avoided interaction with staff. One hotel desk clerk described her as seeming on edge, almost as if she was always expecting something or someone. Her trail was a labyrinth of aliases: Genevieve Lancia, Claudia Tilt, Vera Jarl, Alexia Zartmarin, and others. It was a life lived in shadows, a meticulously constructed facade designed to evade detection. The autopsy provided some insights into her background. Her teeth suggested she had received extensive dental work, indicative of a European origin, perhaps from a dentist in South America. There was an unusual, distinct Mediterranean lump on her nose. Her diet suggested she did not regularly eat fish, unusual for someone who had spent time in Norway. The immediate cause of death was ruled as a combination of phenobarbitone overdose and carbon monoxide poisoning, likely from the fire. Her neck had a bruise, suggesting a blow or fall, and a unique, unidentified rash on her inner thigh. The question was whether she took the pills herself, was forced to, or rendered unconscious before the fire. The theories surrounding the Isdal woman are as numerous as her aliases, and each one more compelling than the last. The most prominent theory, given the multiple identities, the meticulous removal of labels, the language skills, and the elusive movements, was that she was a spy. This was the height of the Cold War, a period rife with espionage and covert operations. Norway, with its strategic coastline and proximity to the Soviet Union, was a hotbed for intelligence gathering. Was she a secret agent, perhaps on a mission, who was silenced by her own agency or by an enemy power? Or perhaps was she a double agent, exposed and eliminated? The Tamam Shud case, a similar mystery from Australia, often draws parallels, suggesting a chilling pattern of spycraft. Another theory, strongly considered by the police, was suicide. Perhaps the accumulated stress of her secret life, the constant evasion, the paranoia, led her to a point of despair. She consumed the sleeping pills, doused herself in petrol, and set herself ablaze in a desolate spot, hoping to disappear entirely. The neat arrangement of her body could suggest a final, desperate act of control. However, the lack of a suicide note, the fact that her hands were clasped, making it difficult to light herself, and the specific timing of the petrol all contradict a straightforward suicide. If she took the pills first, would she have been conscious enough to ignite herself? A third, terrifying possibility is murder. Did someone else kill her, stage the scene to look like a suicide or an accidental fire, and then meticulously remove her identity? The bruise on her neck, the presence of the sleeping pills, and the highly unusual setting of the body could point to foul play. Perhaps she met someone, or was followed, and was incapacitated before being set on fire. The unknown assailant remains a dark shadow in this narrative. Despite extensive efforts by the Norwegian police and a renewed public interest in the 21st century, the case remains officially unsolved. DNA analysis performed decades later, and more recently, isotopic analysis of her teeth and bones have provided fascinating new clues. The isotopic data revealed that she was likely born in Eastern Europe, possibly near France, around 1930, and had spent parts of her life in both Central Europe and later Western Europe. This scientific breakthrough while not providing a name, gave her a geographical and temporal origin, a whisper of a homeland. Yet despite this new scientific light, the fundamental questions remain. Who was the Isdol woman? What was her real name? What was she doing in Norway, leading such a clandestine existence? And what truly happened in that cold valley in November 1970? Her story is a chilling reminder of how completely a person can disappear, how thoroughly a life can be erased, leaving only the ashes of a tragic past and the enduring enigma of an identity deliberately lost to the world. Thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. Until next time, may the secrets of the mountains remain buried, and may your own paths be clearly lit.